You're listening to the More Time, More Profit podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time, drive more profit. Now, present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to More Time, More Profit, episode number one. Today's show is titled, Be a Role Model and Not a Superhero. My name is Adam John. As always, I'm joined by my part-time business partner and full-time friend, Mr. Grant Muriel. What is going on, buddy?
Not much. I like how it's a part-time business partner, full-time friend. I don't know how many friends I've got that I can just say to their face, hey, you're a part-time or a casual friend.
Well, the thing is with you, you've got so many businesses going on, and I do too, that we can't say full-time because there's so much else going on. But look, our friendship will be forever, buddy, so don't you worry about that.
I was going to say, yeah, your full-time friend would be like a part-time friend for me.
So you're just confusing me, so let's jump into things. What have you been up to this week?
All right, so this week, I flew back into Melbourne from the Philippines, just doing a little bit more work on the proof of concept companies for the project management business. So it's been sitting in client offices trying to get them to update their processes and implement a good change management process for when they jump across to our tool and our service, which is awesome. And we're also doing quite a lot of re-strategizing for the vision of the business. So in future episodes, I'll probably be referring to getting a bit of funding for the company, everything. And so it's been pulling the business out of 6 to 12 month visions as a startup into your 5-10 year visions. So, and again, I'll be mentioning sort of how we're going about that later on. So it's been a pretty intense week, to be honest. What about you? What have you been up to?
Yeah, so I mean, just getting back to you for a sec, I mean, you have a number of businesses and obviously you're focusing on the project management one, you know, this week because you've got a lot of meetings and everything along those lines. So did you want to elaborate a little bit on that? Because your other ones are sort of on autopilot as well.
Yeah, so the project management one right now is just taking most of the focus because it's almost at this pinnacle where we've put through a couple of quite large companies as proof of concepts where they bring on the tool, use the tool, prove that it's fit for purpose for them, as well as plan out how they're going to roll it out across the company. So just so you know, one of the companies is a multi-billion dollar company. So it's quite difficult to roll out a new tool countrywide across quite a sizable company. So it's sitting down with them and talking to them about, okay, what do you have in place at the moment and where are you going? And so yeah, so it's really good because it's setting the systems for us at sort of pre-opening the floodgates for clients so that we can, by the time we get more clients on, we can just take everything that we've built for these proof of concepts and just repurpose them and then just tweak
them
for different clients.
And the good thing about that is if you need to put more time in your project management, you can do less time on this and you can do less time in your other business and you're very flexible around all of that. So getting back to your question, I've just booked into a networking event. Historically, I'm not really a big networker. I found that in the business world, you know, everyone I used to meet was just completely full of crap and faking it till they make it. So I have a history of just isolating myself off away from people. I know that you're a big networker, but this year I've had a lot of success meeting a lot of really great people that will be friends for life and great business partners in the future. So I'm looking forward to an event. We've just booked in a Mai Tai event. So it's about 100 people from Silicon Valley. They fly out to here in the Dominican Republic. Where I'm currently based and we do business sessions. We go kiteboarding and we party at nighttime. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
So what's the, so it's Moot. Muay Thai, mouth.
It's Muay Thai. It's like the it's like the cocktail.
Okay. And so when you're saying that it's a business event that breaks out, etc. Are there like particular topics or sessions about particular things on how to run business or how to do tech in business if they're also from Silicon, etc.?
Yeah, I don't really know the actual schedule. I just knew that when you put Silicon Valley and kiteboarding together, two of my favorite things, business and sport together, that some good things are going to happen. So if you look historically, a lot of the business deals are done on the golf course. You know, if you look at our parents, you know, all the business deals are done on the golf course. You let your boss win, etc., etc. These days, you know, the young and up and coming, you know, gunners and startup companies, they want a bit more adrenaline. So they've all got into kiteboarding for some reason. I think, you know, people like Richard Branson and Larry and Sergey from Google, they all sort of pioneered this with their private islands, and everyone else has sort of jumped on board. So a lot of the people that, you know, get right into business in the Valley, also kiteboarders as well. So I have no idea what the stories are going to be. I'm sure it's going to be about angel investing and funding and how to run a business and startups and all these different types of things. But I'm just happy to get in there with some like-minded people and start talking about business.
And I'm just happy to start mooching off the stories. I'm actually really excited to hear what's going on. So,
of course,
looking at this episode, so it's all about be a role model and not a superhero in your business. So Do you want to run us through exactly what we're going to be covering today?
Absolutely, I'm jumping in. So, you know, what do we mean by that? What do we mean by being a role model and not a superhero? You know, often as entrepreneurs, we tend to hold on really tight to our businesses. And often that is that really stunts our growth of the business. It often leads to you getting burnt out, not enjoying yourself, not having enough time for you and your family and your loved ones. And it's actually doesn't help the business. Sometimes you jump in and you want to do more work and it actually stunts the growth of the business. So we'll show you how to diagnose the steps of this and how to fix this very dangerous ailment.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the biggest outcomes for this topic, it's such a common situation that every business owner sees themselves in. It's recognizing that I think I would nearly say 100% of business owners out there, even going back to Richard Branson, to Sergey Brin, etc., they all have a scenario or a particular vice where they just can't let go. And they just want to be the Lone Ranger. They want to put it all on their shoulders and they want to be that superhero, right? So one of the best ways, I guess, I could summarize why they don't need to be a superhero, and they're probably doing it a lot better than most people, it was a great session that I had with a mentor of mine where I was actually quite down in the dumps. I was sitting there just all mopey. I stopped doing yoga. I stopped going to the gym. I stopped doing meditation. And basically, I just threw everything that I hold true and strong in my life out the window to try and focus like 15-hour days on one of the businesses. And the mentor turns around to me. He's just like, okay. So when you look at the businesses that you work with and the businesses that you run, when they're really successful, who do you thank and who do you praise and who do you put it down to? And I said, well, of course, it's the team. One person cannot grow a business and make it successful, etc. He's like, okay. And right now you're putting 15 hours a day into it and you're getting miserable and you're stopping your routine. And if it doesn't work and if it fails or something happens where you're going to have to try and catch up, who do you blame? And the first person I said was me. And I would never forget the statement he said next. He's just like, you cannot be so arrogant to think that your business is 100% reliant on you because you're not that good. And it was just
powerful words. It was so powerful, isn't it?
It was just something that it was so true, because as business owners, we're not egotistical. Every time that we get a great success, it's typically the team. But every time we fail, it's always on us. And that's the superhero syndrome. And so the biggest outcomes that I want to get from this podcast is that we've got to recognize that we have a problem and that we shouldn't be trying to be a superhero. We should be trying to be a role model and show everyone around us sort of how to do it and want to replicate us. We also need to find out what that means. So what are the tasks that we need to do as a business owner? What tasks that we shouldn't be doing? As well as the other side, like what do we absolutely hate doing? Like, as we're the business owner, we get to choose what we work on. So what do we hate doing? And then the final part of it, now that we've recognized that being a superhero is not a good thing, understanding that we need to list down these tasks, it's what do we do next, which is the delegation, which we're going to get into a lot more detail later on. But those are the kind of three outcomes that I want to get to by the end of this. So for everyone who's listening, if you want to get any of the notes, any of the references, jump onto moretimemoreprofit.com/001, which stands for episode one, which is what we're currently on.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I just want to elaborate on that. You know, it's like the old AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, the first step to recovery is actually admitting that you had a problem. So you get a lot of people in rehab and things like that, and they come out and say, well, I don't have a problem. This show will probably lets you know that, that you have a problem, even though you could be in denial about the whole thing. So that's what we really want to get towards. So, I mean, when I say be a role model and not a superhero, what does that really mean to you personally?
Yeah, and this is something that I've looked at a lot in the past. So when you look at a superhero, you've obviously got your citizens, which you're looking at your employees, right? But you've also got the city. Like, what's the superhero trying to save? Which is the business, right? So besides the sexy as outfits and the superpowers, being a superhero doesn't actually seem to be that fun. You've got the weight of the world's problems on your shoulders, which means you have to deal with everything. You have to try and be in every position at the same time. You have to try and fix everything at the same time. Every single battle that raises and just gets created, no matter what the size is, you have to try and fix. And if you don't, people will blame you for it because you fixed it before. And it's also that you can never be proactive. So superheroes never arrive a week ahead of time and just set up and just go, well, I knew this was going to happen. And then fix
right.
It.
They're always looking for the distress call, right?
Correct. It's always reacting, right? So you just don't want to be that position. But a role model is someone who other people look up to. Typically, other people want to mimic or be like, which is exactly what you want your employees to be or your team members to be, is some people who want the drive that you've got. Obviously, they should be experts in the field that they're working on, not as a business owner, but obviously as a technician. They want to respect you. So they don't want to look at everything that you say to them and go, oh, this guy. You also want to enable, as a role model, they enable others to move mountains. Just look at Tony Robbins. Every single person that listens to him talk, same with Oprah Winfrey, they would move mountains based on whatever they talk, and they will follow it through, true and true. But the biggest thing that a role model does, which it kind of comes down to the leadership that they portray as well, is they share and delegate the load. So a role model is not a role model because they do it everything themselves. They're not a role model because they dictate. They're a role model because they share the load, they allow others to do it, and they realize that it's a team effort. It's not just individuals. So, I know that it's obviously such a passionate topic for me. Do you have anything else that it means for you?
Yeah, I mean, I have a real personal journey with this. Anyone who knows me and my story, and we'll get into it a little bit later, is that, you know, as we have real trouble letting go. And, you know, I always tell people it's like when you have a baby. Sometimes, you know, you have a baby and this baby is really helpless. So you got to get in and you got to baby it, you got to feed it, sleep. You have to do all these things, teach it to walk and to crawl. And it's no different to when you have a startup. I mean, you're in there and you're learning the accounting systems, you're learning the product, you're learning your market, you're doing your sales, you're doing dealing with lawyers, you're doing absolutely everything. So this whole baby or your business is completely dependent on you. But as the baby grows up, and a lot of business owners out there at the moment, when it grows into a teenage years, well, they might be able to go out and fend for itself a little bit. So it might be able to go out and get a job and might be able to start earning for itself. So when you've got a baby, the baby's not paying for itself. Okay. It's just a black hole, right? So we're going through that. Oh yeah. We're going through that whole startup thing. It's just a black hole. With the notion that when we plan things out and it turns into a teenager, then it can get a part-time job. It can start being neutral, start paying some rent, everything along those lines. So, what we have to do is we have to let our baby grow up. And, you know, you see some of these mothers when they're out there, and the business owners are exactly the same. We're talking about being a superhero, is that they just can't let go. They can't let the baby grow up past the teenager, go out on their own, go to university and start making money for themselves. And this is really, really easy to understand because we've been there the whole way. We're holding their hand. We taught them to walk. We taught them not to touch the stove because they'll burn their finger. And we do that in our businesses as well. And there comes a point for your baby where you're going to die or you're not going to be around anymore, and the baby has to fend for themselves. And it's exactly the same in your business. If you want to sell your business, you want to get out, you want to take a holiday, if you haven't enabled your baby and taught it to go out and fend for itself and to be profitable by itself, then you're not really doing it a service. It's going to turn into a 40-year-old virgin situation where you're just not helping at all. So that's the analogy I like to use, and I hope that resonates with a few people. So
it definitely does. You know, Mum,
you're not going to be around forever.
Yeah, Mum, if you're listening, just cut the umbilical cord from me. Thank you.
Exactly. So, I mean, you're an entrepreneur. You know these things. She's enabled you. She's given you the tools. You're living on the other side of the world. You guys Skype in from time to time and do all that. So she's well and truly let go of you, and then you can go out and you're not limited into what you're doing with your career. So that's a perfect example of letting go. But a lot of people are in these businesses and they just simply can't let go. They're in the business for 20 years, and if something happens to them, then they're out of business.
But I think that's the core fundamental, is that there is a point in time, just like when you've got an infant, that they're dependent on somebody else, you as a business owner. But as they're growing up, they should no longer be dependent. And that is critical. But what happens is it just builds a habit. And business owners just hold on to that habit forever and ever and ever and ever. And they do the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome. Where the business should just run itself. And you just go, well, no, you have to let it go. Just as a child, you have to let it go and let it progress. So I think that that's just an awesome analogy.
We'll be right back after a message from our sponsors on the More Time, More Profit podcast.
Hey, Adam, buddy boy. Look, I've heard you guys consistently mention leveraging outsourced staff, and I'm definitely keen to try it out. And I know More Time, More Profit has over 20 years experience in outsourcing and 8 years experience living in the Philippines. And so you are the guys to ask. So can you point me in the right direction with regards to filling some full-time positions in my company?
Yeah, you are correct. And I do get this a lot. What real problems are you trying to solve?
Let me tell you. Well, I need to grow my team to cater to the ever-growing client base that we have. I also want cheap staff to drive better profit. And most importantly, I need people who already have a great skill set so that I can get some of my most important time back.
Okay, so outsourcing is cheaper and it allows you to scale very quickly. It covers jobs like web design, administration, development, writing, finance and bookkeeping, marketing, social media, and SEO, just to name a few. But have you thought about the potential problems with your staff?
Mate, sounds like everything I need. But you mentioned other potential problems, like what?
Let's consider your IP walking out the door. What about data security? And what about the reliability of your staff?
Hells no, man. But now that you mention it, what about fast internet, payroll, benefits, employment contracts, etc.?
Don't worry about it, buddy. Have I got a solution for you?
All right, let me have it.
Look, as you're a trusted listener to the show, I'm happy to introduce you into our network. We partner with the fastest growing outsource agency in the Philippines, and their security is better than Fort Knox. They're the only company I trust to look after my network, and they'll give you the same Red Cartman VIP treatment that they give to us.
Nice. But honestly, I'm a bit worried about signing up and just getting dumped with some individual or even someone else's rubbish.
Once again, don't worry about it. There's no problems. You get as many interviews as you want to find the right person to fit the right role for you. You can hire someone from as little as 20 hours a week. And if you inquire today, More Time, More Profit will cover the first week for free. Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA to find out more.
No way. The first week free. But honestly, bit of a nervous Nelly, and I'm still concerned, is there going to be across the other side of the world?
Look, don't worry about it. For yourself and anyone else in our network, the More Time, More Profit office is located in the same city as our partner. If there are any issues that need escalation, we're more than happy to go in and represent you.
Wowza, you'd actually use your team to help me out if I really need it? You do have faith in their ability. Look, what is that website address again?
Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA and get started today.
Thanks, man. I'm going to jump onto it now.
Back to the show, the More Time, More Profit podcast.
So the first step we talk about, in AA, the 12-step program, we talk about recognizing that people have a problem. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so we make it sound so bad is recognizing that someone's got a problem. So it's
they do. It's really bad.
It actually is. And it's a problem that can basically become the detriment of the company. It can. I've seen businesses fail because the business owners just wouldn't let go. I've seen people break down significantly and just not get back from it for years on end because they just had the weight of the world on their shoulders. Adam, you and I know someone who was out for about a year and a half and just couldn't get out and do anything for a year and a half. It was completely bedridden because of so much weight on their shoulders, and rightfully so for the stress that they had, etc.
But it's absolutely
just not healthy. It's
avoidable. This is the thing. It's avoidable.
Exactly. If you try and hold all the weight on your shoulders, it's a means to an end. You will crash and burn at some point. So recognize that you've got a problem is just a core fundamental, because it's not just a problem to you as a business owner, but typically it's to the team as well, because the team feels unfulfilled because they're not accountable to anything. They have no ownership because you are the owner, but for some reason you try and fix all the problems, which means all they do is they just walk in and just like mindless drones, they just do whatever they do and then just leave. So it's detrimental just to the business owner as well as to those around them. I just want to reiterate, I don't think I've ever met a business owner who is not a superhero in some kind of sense, or trying to be a superhero in some kind of sense. It's not a, oh, this doesn't apply to me because I've got a whole heap of processes. Like, I have 600 processes across the businesses, and I know I'm a superhero in some parts. There's just some things that I know that I just struggle to lose control
of. I think everyone out there that is listening, there's always a little bit that they can let go of, a little bit more that they're attached to.
Exactly. I had it with bookkeeping, and I still have it. I'm letting go at the moment, where I love seeing every dollar that goes out of the company because it shows me what I could try and pull back on. However, what outcome am I trying to drive? I'm trying to drive pulling back in from the finances, and I could do that through profit and loss and cash flow statements. So why do I need to be on every single receipt? Why do I need to be on every single purchase?
Absolutely, 100%.
So it's as much trying to choose the battles that you win. And this was, again, another mentor of mine who used to be in the military. He's just like, when you've got finite resources, which as a business owner is your time, you got to remember that you will lose battles, right? So there will be things that you know will go wrong. However, you just manage the risk, right? So you know that, okay, well, that employee might not deliver that process the best, or hey, I haven't taught that team member how to do that, but I trust that they might do it. If they screw up, you've managed the risk, so it's not going to be detrimental to the business, but you've taken it off your back. And you'll lose a couple of battles, but you're trying to win the war. And as a business owner, your war is trying to get your business to a decent size, right?
Yeah, I think we're all out there listening. We know that it's not going to run 100%, you know, positive all the time. They're going to be ups and downs, and it's going to be a roller coaster. But at the end of the end of the day, if you get to the destination, your chosen destination, then it's a success.
And that's exactly right. So it's ultimately that everyone thinks that every business owner that I talk to thinks they need to duplicate themselves. And no, you're never going to be able to duplicate yourself. If you find someone who's exactly like you, they're not an employee, they're another business owner. Or they will become another business owner, and they'll be with you for 6 months. So you have a problem, and you just need to understand. It's not a bad problem as long as you understand that you need to start managing it.
Yeah, I've been through all of this, and I want to jump into a quick story that I went through. So, you know, I'm sitting back. I'm running two companies in two different countries. I'm working, 7 days a week, 15 hours a day. And you were there at the time. We're both living in the Philippines. We've had a flood. We've had an earthquake. We've had something else. And we have four natural disasters in 1 year. And the next one was a typhoon. And this is the one that got all the news coverage back in probably about 2013 it was. So we're at work, and we call to our office in Sydney and say, look, we're battening down the hatches. This could be a big one. I'm going to a hotel. You were camped up in a hotel down the road, and everything was fine. It passed. The city that we're in, Cebu City, the typhoon passed by. Everything else was wrecked in its path, but we survived. And my business partner rings up, and he said, I'm angry at you. And I'm just like, well, how can you be angry at me? I'm the one that's in the typhoon. I'm the one that's moved over from Australia for 2 years to move away from my family, my friends, and everything like that. He goes, listen, I understand what you're doing. I love what you're doing. But you're hurting this business by doing that. Like, what are you talking about? He goes, I had no idea, because you didn't have internet, if you're safe and sound, if you're in hospital, if you're dead. And he goes, you know what? He goes, everything that you have in this company, because you started it and brought me on later as a partner, is in your head. And if something happens to you, everyone in Sydney, everyone in Cebu is completely out of work. And I'm just like, well, you're not right. And, you know, I was a little bit upset at him for a while, and I went away and thought about it, and I thought, geez, he's probably got a point here. So me being, you know, back in the day, probably a little bit spiteful, I'm like, well, if this is something that you want, let me figure out and be careful for what you get. So what I did is I set about starting about going through this process about not being a superhero anymore. So I'll refer to a few stories in this podcast, but that's how it all started.
Yeah, and on that point, it's typically the people around us who give us probably the biggest kick up the backside and to take action, right? Because you just get stuck in your ways. And it's exactly the same for me, is where I've had some of the people closest to me and business mentors who are just like, what are you doing? This is, you know, this is silly. And I'm like, you're right, I do know it's silly. And they're like, so what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. And it hurts. It hurts when they give it to you as well, because you are working so hard. So for everyone listening out there at the moment, we're going to kick them in the backside. We know they're working hard, right? We know they're going through all of this, but sometimes it just takes that third party to come out and give them that boot to let them know that they're actually probably doing more. They get to a point where you're doing more, you know, harm than good.
And that's exactly right. So look, speaking about doing a bit more harm than good, and like, obviously we understand that basically every single business owner, and I would fight black and blue if a business owner said, I do not have the superhero syndrome, or at least to an extent. What would be the next step? So, yep, I've recognized I've got a problem. So what would be your next step in that? Or how did you, what did you do after that typhoon?
Right. So what I was doing, I went and sat down. I had a really good look at my role and what I was doing. And yes, I hadn't had a holiday in about 7 years. And I'm like, well, you know, it's not just me being spiteful. What if I want to sell one day? You know, what if I want to go on a holiday? So what can I do? So I got a piece of paper out and I drew three columns in there. And I wrote on them tasks that only I can do, tasks I shouldn't be doing, and tasks I hate doing. Right. And then what I did is I made a huge list and broke my entire job up, and it turned out I was probably doing the job of literally 6 to 8 people, which was absolutely crazy when I looked at it, because I didn't realize how much work I did. I jumped from accounting to legal, into sales, into account management. I'll be wearing so many hats, what I call it. So I'm wearing a hat of everybody, and I'm like, well, this can't happen. So let's look at the first column, only things that I can do. So an example of that would be, only I can do director meetings and staff briefings. That's cool. All my managers come into the office. I give them the brief. I do my director meetings with people in Sydney via Skype and everything along those lines. So that's not really something I would like to delegate. And then I come up with, what a list of things that I shouldn't be doing. Well, I shouldn't be training low-level staff anymore, because I have an office manager that I can train to go and train those people. If I do interviews for one day, that takes up one whole day of my time, and I don't need to be doing that anymore. So what I did is I enabled my managers to be able to go and train their own staff. And then I looked at things that I hated doing, like bookkeeping and accounting. And I think about, well, what's my hourly rate? Let's say I'm a business director. Let's say my hourly rate's $1,000 an hour. I can actually go out and hire someone in my Sydney office at $28 an hour to do accounts payable and receivable. And that takes a big burden off my, off my load as well. And I hate doing it. And when you do jobs that you hate doing, it hurts your morale, it hurts your vision, and it hurts those around you. So my first thing is, you know, addressing that list of the jobs that I hate doing.
And that, I could not agree more. I think that a lot of business owners, especially, and I've done it a lot in the past, is when I just look at the next day and I go, yeah, there's 15 hours of time that I'm awake, maybe excluding commute and food. I could do 15 hours worth of work. However, it's not that. Like, that's not...
Yeah.
You have one spot fire that's too big and your day's blown and you're not sleeping. Kind of thing. People don't even put a time and a value next to their time.
You are owning problems that someone else can own, especially when you've got staff on your payroll, and what are you paying them for?
Exactly.
So do you want to jump in and, you know, discuss a little bit about, you know, how you do it with your filtering into the three columns?
Yeah, so I've got a little bit of it's very similar, but it's a little bit different with how I look at it. So I do a very similar column of what can I do and what shouldn't I do and what do I hate doing. However, I put one caveat on top of it, so one little equation on top of it, and this probably comes back a little bit to project management when you're looking at risks in running a project, where I look at the importance of what I'm working on and I look at the frequency of it. So, for example, we're talking about a bookkeeping task, so the frequency is very high. So one of our businesses might have, I don't know, 5 to 10 receipts in a given day, right? So if I'm sitting there snapping them and importing them to zero and doing all this, that, and the other, then the frequency is high, right? So I might put a very high frequency or a 5. The importance is very low, right? So it's not that important, which means it's generally quite a low-level task, which means that a general bookkeeper will know how to do that task without a process document. So it might be a low or a very low, which would be like a 1 or a 2. So it equals a score of a 10 or a 5, respectively. So the higher the score, it means the more imperative it is that you do it now or do it yesterday, right? So if I've got a task that is client reporting, the frequency is probably weekly or it might be daily. So it's done, that's a high frequency. The importance is probably very high because this is the only reason that people buy the product or the service or hire us. So that's a five as well. So five times five is a 25, which means it immediately goes to the top of the, you need to get this out of your tasks and off your back and put it on someone else.
And beautiful. That's, and this is what I love about the way that you and I go about it. We go about our strategy to complete. We're trying to achieve the same goal. And you are very strategic. You plan everything out, your process, like everything. You've got always got a percentage. You've got a mark next to it, everything along those lines. I'm a little bit more loosey-goosey, you know, just simply with my three columns, but we're trying to achieve exactly the same thing. So you'll have some people listening to this that resonate with you with a complete, real structured way, and then you'll have the other people that resonate with me and just like, I just need a solution. Give it to me the quickest way and the dumbest way.
Exactly, but there's no wrong way to do it. It's the whole thing itself, it just has to be done, right?
Exactly.
Just because I've calculated up that I think that this task is the most important thing that I need to do doesn't mean that, hey, if I got 10 hours back in my week because I'm not doing bookkeeping anymore, that's still going to add value because it's going to open up 10 more hours of strategic thinking, further planning, or even reprioritizing of what I need to do next and what monkey I need Absolutely. To get off my back.
So yeah, and it's so powerful. It's so powerful that you're just not spending time on jobs that someone else can be doing when you've got so many things in your business that you should be doing for the future and the big vision of your company. And, you know, a lot of people out there, oh, gee, I love to grow the company, but I just don't have time. Well, this is the way that you get that time back.
Exactly.
So we've covered that. So we've covered the way that we filter it into the three columns. So we've recognized that we have a problem. We're going to list all our jobs out. We talked about making the list. Now we're going to have to do some form of delegation. So we understand that we've got the problem and we need to delegate it to someone. Do you want to talk a little bit about delegation?
Yeah, so this is my bread and butter. So
I know you lick your lips when you hear delegation.
I'm sitting there
coming
trying to
from
make...
Coming from the man who we talked about in our intro podcast, if you know a little bit about us, that runs a business and he spends 15 hours a week on it. So everyone listen up to this.
15 minutes a week.
15 minutes a week.
So basically the way that, and I won't get into too much detail because this could go on for 5-10 hours, but we'll cover it in a lot more detail of processes, systems, delegation, responsibilities, accountabilities, etc. in further episodes. So this is more, okay, I've found out I've got a problem. I'm being a superhero. I now have my list of things that I have to try and figure out what I'm going to do with. What do I do? And so, again, there's a strategy of exactly how I'd filter this out, right? So the first thing a big hurdle that people have is that building a process is a 20-page endeavor. It takes a day or two to build something that's for a task that takes 30 minutes. That's not what we're talking about. What I'm talking about is taking something that needs to be done and turning it into a checklist. So it's got bookkeeping, he's got 5 points, maybe. So it's like, get the receipt, take a photo of the receipt, import it into Xero, reconcile it, that's it. So it's 4 points, right? That's a checklist. You can build it out some other time, but right now it's just about getting your monkeys off your back. So when I do my prioritization, everything belongs to a department of a company. So it might belong to sales, marketing, finance, product, service, customer service, etc. Everything's going to be reliant on one particular part. So whilst I'm finding out what I'm going to delegate first, I'll look at the department and I say, okay, do I have someone in that role first? So I might have an internal team member, I might have a manager, I might have an outsourcer, a VA, for example, who might be doing 20 hours a week. I might be able to go and pay a retainer for a company. I might be able to do this. And so I'll try and find what the best, basically who's the best to be accountable for that task and where I can get them for at a competitive rate.
So I'll jump in there for a moment. It doesn't have to be a staff member. You don't have to say, well, you know, I'd love to delegate this job, but I can't afford someone in my payroll to do that specific job. There are other ways to be able to do that. You can go to a third party. You can outsource it. You can do it internally. You can hire a student to come in and do it. There are a lot of different ways to do it. So don't let that limit you.
And that's exactly right. See, I'll be honest. I've still got my mum. She does quite a bit of like PA work for me, and it sounds so bad, but it really does. It sounds bad, but a lot of my personal things, and for a couple of the businesses, go to an address, and so mum gets the mail for that. She takes that mail, she scans it, sends it to me, summarizes what it's about, tells me what needs actioning, and then she sends other stuff to maybe the account and things like that that they need to be across.
I'm laughing so hard. You've trained yours a lot better. Mine just opens the mail, takes a photo of it with the iPad, and emails it to me, and that's it. That's as far as she goes. So maybe there's some training in there and some processes I can put in place to train the old girl up a little bit more.
I'll flick you the process document and how I did that one.
That's fantastic.
But it's true. A really close friend of mine, we talk quite regularly, specifically hires students for one of the main tasks in his company. And now students make up probably 70% of his workforce, because that's the talent and that's the level that he needs, and that's the price point he needs to pay, and it gets the exact outcome that he needs. So it's too many people think that, okay, well, I need to hire a full-time employee, I need to set up payroll, I need to set up this, that, and the other. No, it's this is what you've got. So you've got something you hate doing, like bookkeeping. Here are your 10 different solutions of staff, etc. If you don't have an internal finance person or an admin, then don't hire one just to do bookkeeping. That's a waste of time and waste of effort. But there are bookkeeping companies that you can pay a very minimal amount that will do it for you, and they'll just load it up into your Xero and reconcile it for you. So maybe that's an option. Maybe there is your mum can help. Maybe there is a student who's currently studying their CA or accounting who can help, who would love a bit of money on the side. And that's
and it really comes down to not letting. Don't go straight to the negative. Well, I can't afford it.
Exactly.
Let's think. Let's be a Mexican and not a Mexican, and let's figure out a way that we can actually get these in, because we've already listed it on the list that it's going to be a problem. I hate doing it, or I shouldn't be doing it. And it's actually costing us money and time.
And that's it. And basically, the time that it takes you to solve this problem, it's probably the time it takes you to do one of the tasks once, right? So bookkeeping for a day is exactly how long it would take me to solve that problem. And I have to do it immediately, because if I'm losing 5 to 10 hours a week on bookkeeping and I can solve it within an hour, then I score myself 5-10 hours back to either sleep, earn more money, do something else more productive, etc. So basically recapping. So the first thing is, I know the list that I'm doing. I may or may not have a prioritization on it, but irrelevant. I'm just grabbing the next thing I need to delegate and give across, and I evaluate my options, right? Whichever one's the quickest and easiest that doesn't have a huge financial burden is the first thing I'll do, and I can solve it later. So as I grow bigger, I get a team of 20, 50 people, 100 people, then I can have all of them independent in employees. But until that, what is the one thing that I can implement immediately?
Once you start on this, you get hooked like a drug. And you're like, well, this worked. What else can I do next? It's like people that get tattoos, they say they can't just get one tattoo. Once you go down this rabbit hole, you're in there. So you just mentioned a bookkeeper. So that's a good example. I talked about, $1,000 versus $28 an hour. I'm just like, well, man, I hate doing accounting. I shouldn't be doing this, right? My account manager, I'm paying them 90 grand a year. They shouldn't be out there chasing accounts. Let's get someone else in there. And I just sat down, and because I use Xero on a daily basis, all I did is I did a screen record in Camtasia. And I said, this is what I'm doing. And it was a 15-20 minute video that I sent to our new accounts receivable, accounts payable bookkeeper girl. And she picked it up within a day. Now that freed up probably 10 hours a month, 15 hours a month just from me. And I'm just like, well, what else can I do? Exactly. And then I just went down this track of like, okay, well, I need this person to do this. So another example is we come out with a new product or service. When we come out with a new product or service, of course, I am the superhero. I started the company. Everything goes through me. I haven't got time to do it. I'm going to go home and do it on the weekend. Stop right there, Adam. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to hire a manager to come in and do this, or I'm going to look to a manager that I've already got to hire to come up with this new product.
Exactly.
So I stepped back and I gave it to my manager and I said, go away and do this and come back to me with it. Come back to me. It was amazing. It was something that I – a lot of points in there that I wouldn't have even come up with. There was a few things in there that I needed to tweak. It's nothing I couldn't tweak within 20 minutes and send them away to fix it again. Before you know, I've got a new product and service, and it saved me hours and hours and hours of just doing it all myself. And look, as I said, it's super addictive. Try it out. Just start with something small. As I said, start with the hate list, and then – you'll just start going. You'll go from strength to strength. You'll get your time back and you'll drive more profit within your business, and you'll allow your business to grow without you as well.
Yeah, and that's so one thing that I do, like, just mandatory, is every single day I at least allocate 15 minutes to hopefully an hour on a good day to planning and strategic planning. So a lot of people just think that that's doing your to-do list for the next day. So taking your example, your story for as an example, I would take that and say, okay, I need to come out with a new product and service. So I'll bring that into my planning session. I'll look through all of my can, can't, and hate lists. I'll look at this task that I've currently got, and I go, okay, I can either process and delegate this task and put a checklist or something very simple to it, which is the new product or service, or I can grab one from my already created list, which will free up time for me to deliver something like that. Right, and I can actually figure out on which one, because I'm like, okay, well, if I only create a new product or service once a year, then you know what? It's probably something I enjoy doing because, hey, that's why I opened the business. Okay, but I really don't like doing my account management calls every week. So I'll get someone else to do that. And that's, I don't know, it's just having that clarity and that headspace of knowing what your next battle is. And so those three lists that you said.
And look at it like a game as well. Like, what can I do next? Like, what can I do next? What can I do next? I was listening to a Tim Ferriss podcast just the other day, and it was about Sean White, and he said he sets these crazy goals for himself where he'd just see how many cars he could win in a year from snowboarding. And just silly little things like that. But when you set, you know, goals, you know, things like that for yourself, you make it fun, and then you take all those responsibilities away from it and you free up everything. So we're going to move along a little bit, and what we're going to do is we're going to jump into maybe 5-point summaries that people can take away from it. So the first thing that I would say for people is, go away and find a quiet location, turn your phone off, turn your computer, everything like that. Grab out your piece of paper and draw 3 columns in it. And in those 3 columns, what you want to do is you want to write out tasks that only you can do. You want to write out tasks that you shouldn't be doing and tasks that you hate doing. And what you want to do is take all your daily roles, everything that you do within the week, the month, the day, list them on that piece of paper. So you're looking at your existence within that company. And, you know, I talked about mine. I was wearing 6 different hats. It was just too many. And then what I would do is I look in the hate column. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It's one of those things of when you realize how many hats that you're wearing, and I don't think a lot of people realize that and recognize it. They just look at it and go, okay, well, I do finance now, and then I do account management, then I do sales and stuff. There are separate hats, and one person for each kind of hat is the ideal scenario.
Yeah, and even jumping from hat to hat, it takes a time to transition. So if I'm doing some account management and then I jump into support, I've got to change my brain, you know, the way my brain thinks. And then I've got to jump into sales. I've got to deal with a completely different department. And we know that sales guys are completely different to back of house staff.
Exactly.
in the way that you deal with them, the way that you talk to them, the way that they're motivated. So it's not only that, it's a transition between all these different hats. And if you're doing 6 or 7 in a day, it's just too much. So I jump in and I start with the things that I hate, right? Because that's the stuff that demotivates me. That's the stuff where, you know, when you wake up in the morning, it's like, oh my God, I've got a list of 12 things I've got to do today and I absolutely hate doing the first 3. Let's just eliminate those first 3 hateful things that just stop you wanting going into the office. And let's replace those with money-making, ventures and ways to gain more profit. What would you rather do? Go to work and do 3 jobs you hate in the morning, or log into your bank account and see that you've made an extra 100 grand? So that's what I do. I start straight with the hate, and then we set about delegating those jobs out. Okay, who can I delegate it to? It's what you talked about. We can go to outsourcers, we can go to third parties, we can go overseas, we can go within, we can go with students. Let's not limit our beliefs, and let's get these jobs off to other people.
Exactly. And look, I'll add to that where, just as a final point, it doesn't even just need to be your business, right? So if you're doing something at home that you really don't like maybe ironing or cooking or something like that, that's again something you can delegate. You can go and find, like in Australia, we have Light and Easy, which is a pre-made food that you just put in the freezer and reheat. That's delegating the task. That's getting someone else to do it so you can buy some more time within your life where you can spend some more time with your loved ones as well. So,
well, yeah, I've got the maid coming tomorrow, right? So the maid here is probably going to cost me $5 or $10 for the day. But what's a podcast worth to me and you? So we can sit down and plan our next podcast out. So that's worth a lot more value in the long run. They'll be worth tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Whereas me just investing that $5 or $10 so I can free up time to be able to do that, that's what we're talking about, the return on investment.
Exactly. So look, everyone who's listening, if you want to download the wrap-up points that Adam just ran through so you can get the checklist and just start ticking off absolutely everything that you need to do and start ultimately getting more time back in your life so that you can increase your profit, go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/001 for episode one.
And the other thing I'd like you guys to do is just jump into iTunes. Your reviews, your subscription means a lot to us. It allows us to be able to take the time out of the day to be able to sit down and come up with all this knowledge for you guys. So jump into iTunes, leave a review, make sure you subscribe. That's going to be the end of our show. So we're going to make sure we come back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. For me, this is I'm out. Grant,
rock on,
thanks
buddy.
Thanks for joining me, buddy.
Thanks again. It's always a pleasure, mate.
It's been a great episode, and we'll see you guys next week.
Catch you later, guys. Bye.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit Podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real-life business strategies.